Positivism and Analytic Philosophy, From Europe to America. So far, my account of the epistemological origins of postmodernism has concentrated on German developments in philosophy. Those developments are most of the story of the background to postmodernism. In Europe, if one was a philosophically trained intellectual in the middle part of the 20th century, one's training was primarily in Kant, Hegel, Marx, Nietzsche, and Heidegger. Those thinkers set the philosophical framework of discussion for European intellectuals, and that framework goes a long way toward accounting for the rise of postmodernism. Yet my account of postmodernism as developed so far is incomplete. Postmodernism's strongholds are in the American academy, not the European. Rorty is, of course, American, and while Foucault, Derrida, and Lyotard are French, they have many more adherents in America than they do in France or even Europe. So there is a gap that must be bridged. How did the counter-Enlightenment tradition come to prominence in the English-speaking world, especially North America? The gap is wider intellectually than it is geographically. For the longest time, the American Academy had little use for Hegel, Kierkegaard, and Nietzsche. The Anglo-American tradition saw itself as the champion of the Enlightenment project. It allied itself with science, with rigor, with reason, and with objectivity, and it rejected contemptuously Hegel's speculative wanderings and Kierkegaard's wallowings. It had been deeply impressed with science, and it saw science as the alternative to now discredited religious and speculative philosophy. It wanted to make philosophy scientific and to justify the roots of science. This positivist spirit, pro-science and pro-logic, dominated the Anglo-American intellectual world for much of the 19th and 20th centuries. The collapse of the positivistic spirit in Anglo-American philosophy is therefore part of the story of the rise of postmodernism. As strong as Enlightenment traditions were and are in America and Britain, those cultures were never Enlightenment islands unto themselves. European and especially German philosophical influences began to be a presence shortly after the Revolution in France. The English Romantics, most famously, were among the first to turn to Germany for philosophical and literary inspiration. Samuel Taylor Coleridge and William Wordsworth, for example, spent time in Germany for that purpose. Wordsworth's famous lines signal the new anti-reason trend. Quote, "Our meddling intellect misshapes the beauteous forms of things. We murder to dissect." Unquote. John Keats's lines continue it. Quote, "Do not all charms fly at the mere touch of cold philosophy?" Unquote. And Thomas De Quincey is perhaps the clearest prose representative of what many of the English Romantics absorbed from German philosophy. Quote, "Here I pause for one moment to exhort the reader never to pay any attention to his understanding when it stands in opposition to any other faculty of his mind. The mere understanding, however useful and indispensable, is the meanest faculty of the human mind, and the most to be distrusted. And yet the great majority of people trust to nothing else, which may do for ordinary life, but not for philosophical purposes." Unquote. Germany's rising star was also signaled by the popularity of Germaine de Staël's Germany, published in 1813, a book that had a major impact on French, English, and American intellectual life. In the United States, Madame de Staël's book inspired many budding intellectuals to take up the study of German language and literature. It was read by the young Ralph Waldo Emerson, later to become America's leading man of letters. In conjunction with her book's popularity, the 1810s and 1820s also began a trend of young intellectuals going to Germany for study. This group included many of those later prominent in American intellectual life. Edward Everett was one of Emerson's professors at Harvard. Ralph's brother William studied the new Schleiermacher and Hegel-inspired approaches to theology and biblical criticism at Heidelberg. George Tickner later became professor of belles-lettres at Harvard. And George Bancroft, quote, "the father of American history," unquote, attended several German universities, including hearing Hegel's lectures in Berlin. Quote, "Until 1830, historian Thomas Nipperdy points out, it was the general rule that talented and curious young minds gravitated to Paris. But from then on, they came in ever-increasing numbers, American students, for example, to Germany, to Berlin, unquote. They brought back with them Kantian and Hegelian philosophy. By the middle of the 19th century, German ideas were established in America. One indication of this is that the most important philosophical journal in America from 1867 to 1893, the Journal of Speculative Philosophy, was founded in 1867 by a group of Hegelians in the St. Louis Philosophical Society. This list of German philosophical influence is not yet especially weighty, for America in the 19th century was not yet an intellectual or cultural powerhouse, and the intellectual and cultural life that did flourish was still largely guided by Enlightenment philosophy. To the extent that intellectual life flourished in America, German philosophy existed as a minority tradition alongside the dominantly pro-reason and pro-science traditions coming out of the Enlightenment.